Going on to the other parts of the bracha, which again are not part of the bracha itself, we say some other things. The Dom Melech Yisrael Chayav Kayim is obviously an aspiration in line with this. We want to go back to the Mashiach, we want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So we're asking for Dom Melech Yisrael Chayav Kayim. Other psukim go in line with this. People in my Mosav Afachad is asking for, you know, similar to the concept we have of Shvei Chamotzka. We're asking because Baruch Hu reveals himself. The same time of revelation is always going to be a punishment from Isay Resha and people who do things not in the proper way. And that being the case, we ask to witness that the people Aleihem on the people who are not doing the right thing, a Masr Fachad, and punish all those people. Why do we say Shalom Aleichem in the middle of Kishlevana? Just turn to, you know, people next to you to Shalom Aleichem. What for? You've seen them relatively recently. There's no real reason for that. It's not like you haven't seen them in a long time. So to that, Mr. Rubin's down with the Magen Avraham is really coming from everyone across the board prior to that, and that's very simple, and that is because you say people Aleihem, Hashem, you know, all those guys, the bad guys, shall drop dead. The guy next to you gets nervous, maybe talking about him. So he turns to him and says, no, to you, Shalom Aleichem, you're good, I'm good with you. Yes, he says Shalom Aleichem to three people around you. Interestingly, the Maril says, Me'ezatam Shia, doesn't say why. If there are not three people, say it three times to one person, even though according to this reason, you should only say it to a person once. He gets the point. You don't get to emphasize it again and again. No one says this, but I would imagine it follows that if this is the concept behind the Shalom Aleichem, I would guess. So if you say Tipa Aleichem and then you make a circle around the guy next to you to the second guy to say Shalom Aleichem, it sort of defeats the purpose. The idea is you want to know the people next to you, you want to tell them you're good. If you show them that you're not good with him, that would sort of be counterproductive. But that's why we say Shalom Aleichem. Interestingly, the Ramah Paskins that Meshiv is Keshayel. If someone comes over to you and says Shalom Aleichem and you respond Aleichem Shalom, so you made the point. You told them, I'm good with you. And that being the case, there's no reason for you to go ahead. I don't see anybody doing this. But the Ramah says very clearly that if you would say Aleichem Shalom three times prior to saying Shalom Aleichem, you would have no need to go ahead and say Shalom Aleichem. Now, the truth is, if you already said Shalom Aleichem three times, there you are mechuyav. Your mother doesn't say this, but you are mechuyav to go ahead and answer to anybody who says Shalom Aleichem to you. Chazal says a chiv to respond in kind. If someone gives you Shalom, you have to give him a bracha back and say Shalom to you as well. That happens to be true in life at large. But in this specific case, to get to your number of three, Meshiv is Keshayel, and you can go ahead and be yaitzu with that. But again, if you want to say it to more people, Matayiv Manayim. I don't know what the halacha would be. If no one's around you, you said Shalom Aleichem be yachidus, and nobody's around you, it would stand to reason according to this. You shouldn't have to say Shalom Aleichem to anybody because nobody near you got nervous when you said Tipoil. Nonetheless, according to this Maharil, you should find a person and say it three times. It would stand to reason here as well. If you can find somebody on the block, go ahead and find someone to say Shalom Aleichem to three times as well. Now, Aleinu Shabbach, why do we say Aleinu to end? Some people say because it happened to be, they say it at the end of Maariv. If you say Kishlevana, people used to say Aleinu then as opposed to at the end of Maariv. Some people want to suggest that. Mr. Brewer goes with a different reason. He says very simply, going outside, you're being Mivarich Abrach in front of Levana. People out there might say, look, they're bowing down to Levana. They're giving some sort of Kayach Levana. As if we believe in the Levana, Chas Hashem. To that we say, no. See, Aleinu Shabbach Ben HaKol, we make it very, very clear. Levana is a symbolism between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we bow down to Kadosh Baruch Hu alone, and to him alone we're saying that we are Meshubatu and he's our Melech and he controls the world in its entirety. So we say the entirety of Aleinu because of that. And that being the case, the Shabbat also points out that it's extremely important when you bow down. He says earlier, when you jump, people are bowed down throughout Kishlevana, different parts, some feed their minig. One should be careful not to bow directly towards Levana. That would sort of feed the wrong idea here. So if you bow down by Aleinu, even if you happen to be facing that direction, you should turn a little bit to the side to avoid giving that impression, Chas Shalom, of bowing down towards the moon as if it's some sort of deity of its own accord. Ending off with that, end off with two more points here quickly. One is that Chazal, various sources point out that it's possible, different sources, that someone says Kishlevana will be nitzel from all sorts of bad things for the rest of that month. Because of that, maybe first of all, the general reason for any mitzvah, but all the more so the special Indian over here. I heard that Schwab was very macro at the first opportune moment. He was very much an extreme zrizus to make sure he would do it right away at the first chance possible. And I've heard the first time he missed it was the chedesh that he was nifter. He wasn't able to. He was in the hospital. He was nifter. And that was the first month he missed it. But it's a very big inyan to go ahead and grab the first opportune moment. And one last point here is that we know that the scientists today have calculated the exact lunar cycle. It's really an extremely complicated cheshbon because it's subject to many, many other factors. It's not a simple circle. First of all, it's circling a moving object. The earth is moving. So anytime you're circling a moving object, it's much more complicated. Also, the moon is subject to gravitational pulls from planets and everything else. It gets extremely complicated. And with all that said, scientific world today has a number, this exact number, for the average, at least, of the lunar cycle. It changes every month. And that number, if you plug it in, and you use Chazal's Moilah that they gave us, when you're mistaken the calendar, you do the math and you figure it out. It's really not that complicated to run the math against each other. You run the math of Chazal's Moilah that they made thousands of years ago without all the scientific discovery we have today. The numbers come out. It is off by one day over a span of 14,000 years. 14,000 years to be off by one day. And as people pointed out, it's not such a big time either way if Chazal were off by that much, because hopefully, Meher Yibanai Mikdash, we're going to go back to Mekash Lai Dei Re'iyah, so Chazal certainly weren't counting on having a system in place for 14,000 years. But the tremendous how they got the knowledge, if it came straight to Siyat Shemaya, from their knowledge, from here, from there, we don't know exactly how they got there. But one thing is a tremendous testament to the godliness of Chazal. When you look up there and you see the moon, and you see the cycle, and today we're discovering the same thing, the tremendous godliness of what we see in the Tzibri Chazal.